Titus chapter 2, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning I just want to talk to you about the importance of living a godly life. Living a godly life in an ungodly world. We've been talking about the harvest, and last Sunday and even Wednesday night, talking about our opportunities to be evangelists, to reach our world. And this is something that is really important. If you are going to be a tool, a vessel that God uses to reach our world, is you have to be willing to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Scripture here says that we are to live as a pattern of good works. You know, in spite of all the things that are going on in our world right now, I know there's a lot of advancing, you know, in technology and travel and all kinds of advancements that are being made. My girls got me a one of these little, what do you call it? Echo thing. And it sits in the living room, and I can sit down in my chair and say, Alexa, what's the news? And I mean, it just immediately starts giving the news. I can say, Alexa, what's the weather? Well, the weather today is such and such. I can say, Alexa, I'd like to hear this particular song. And it'll find it and play it to me. It's pretty incredible. We've advanced in technology, haven't we? There's some amazing things that are going, but with all of the advancement the things that are happening as far as knowledge and technology and travel, we are in the areas of morality and character and integrity and righteousness and holiness. We're not moving forward. We're moving backward. We're not moving in the direction that we should be moving. The scripture says that we're to be a pattern of good works. We're to be living in such a way that when the world is getting darker and darker and darker, that the Christian and our testimony becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. I heard someone say recently that the stars are always shining, but it's only when it gets dark that you see them. The darker that it gets, the brighter the stars shine. And it should be true in the church. Should be true of believers. That even though the culture and society and our world is getting darker and darker and going further and further away from God and away from the truth, we are to be a light shining in this dark place. And our godly living is to be a testimony to the world. As Christians, we should be anchored in the truth, anchored in God's word, anchored in Jesus Christ, steadfast, unmovable, our eyes fixed upon the Lord. And that should be a great contrast to what we see going on in the world today. Living a godly life, living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. So the believer should stand in great contrast to the world. We're to live a life that's pleasing to God, a holy life, a, a life of purity and righteousness, a life of character, a life of integrity and honesty, and living in such a way that we stand out from the world. And it's obvious to the world that we belong to the Lord. We make a big mistake if we think, well, we want to imitate the world or identify with the world or be like the world. When we do, we lose really the keen edge of our ability to influence the world. When we just get in step with the ways, the thinking, the philosophy of the world, then we lose our real power of effectiveness in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." The Apostle Paul said this world is passing away. He said this world is really under the judgment of God. Another place he says the wisdom of the world is foolishness, and that we are not to be conformed to the world. We're not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Everything about the world system and the things of this world, that Christians, we lose our affection and our desire for that when we begin to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we love God, and we love the things of God. We love the truth of God, and we desire to live a godly life in the midst of this dark and perverse generation. We want to live as a pattern of godliness. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. You know, your influence is really important. The influence of the church is important. Your words are important. Your actions, your lifestyle, it's important. You can be sure that the world is watching you. Amen. Amen. They see you pull out of your driveway on Sunday morning and they see, hey, they're going to church. They're on their way to church. Even if they don't go, if you stop going, it's going to be something they're going to take notice of. The world is watching. And if you begin to take on more of the things of this world, the world is watching, and they're observing the fact that you are losing your love for God, and you're beginning to have an affection for the things of this world. Remember, the world's passing away. This world is under judgment. This world, there's no good thing in this world, and we have to set our affection on things that are above, not on things that are in this earth. Amen. Praise God. The world is watching. We're being observed. Our testimony is being judged by the way that we live, by our lifestyle. And it talks about there in verse 5, which I didn't read this part in the text, but it talks about that we live in such a way, and it identifies there how the aged are to live, the young women are to live, the men are to live. It goes through the different qualifications and the different things. It says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So the world is watching, and the world will judge, and they won't judge us necessarily by our theology. They'll judge us by our behavior. They'll judge us by our character. They'll judge us by the way that we live. That's why it's so devastating when there's some major player in the church, some evangelist or someone that's very well known, when they fall into sin or begin to get caught in the trap of their own sinfulness. When they do, then it creates a mockery of the church. We suffer even if others in the church world, if they take on the things and the ways of this world, we suffer. And even our testimony is affected by what's happening. I can remember many years ago, we were doing some knocking on doors, talking to people, inviting people to church. And this was right after the things that happened with Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart and all those different ones that had come under accusation. And I remember several doors we knocked on that they asked us questions. Is your church like that church? Is your church like that preacher? Are you like them? And it's something we have to live above and try to overcome whenever some, because the scripture talks about the word of God is blasphemed when someone lives a life that is impure and is not what God has called us to be. It even brings the word of God, causes it to be blasphemed because we live a life that's not pleasing to the Lord. So a changed life, a transformed life, whenever a person is saved, is a glowing testimony of the power of God to touch a life and to change a person, completely turning them around for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Your godly life stands in great contrast to the ways of this world. And you take on the world and you lose your power to influence the world. Amen. It's the truth. It is the truth. Your holy life also can silence the opposers of those. If you just be faithful. I mean, they can point their finger at this one and that one, but you're responsible for you. You're responsible for your life and your testimony and your character and your integrity. You're responsible for the way that you live your life. And when you live a life, according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. When they examine your life, when they look very closely at your life and examine your life and can't find anything in your character, I know that we're all human and that we have our weaknesses. I understand that, but we've been called of God to live a life that's above reproach. And so we're to be striving for that, striving to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord in everything that we do, in all of our actions and deeds, in our words, our language, our vocabulary, everything, it all should honor the Lord. We know that bitter and sweet water can't come out of the same fountain. And so we are to purge ourselves, purify ourselves, and to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And when we do and live that kind of a life, then we can't be condemned. We can't come under accusation. That those that want to oppose the things of God, and there are plenty of those in our world today. Amen. There's plenty that are in atheism, and those that are agnostic, and those that are making fun of Christianity, and fun of the Bible, and fun of the church. And when someone stands up for the truth, they become under accusation, and they become mocked by the things of God. And I know that we don't believe probably everything like, Franklin Graham. I understand that. But I have to tell you, I admire the guy for standing up for some things. Who stands up. I mean, he's very publicly spoken against the LGBT. I get those letters mixed up. LGBTQ community, whoever they are. All those that are involved in that perverted lifestyle. And he just very boldly speaks up and says, well, that's not biblical. That's not pleasing to God. That's against the will of God. And I admire him, a person in his high profile who has the courage to speak the truth. And but you have to live a life that matches up to your words and live your life. And when you do, then you put to shame those that are the accusers. Amen. Whenever they cannot find what they're looking for, when they examine your life and they're watching, the world is watching. They're watching what you do. They're watching how you live. They're listening to your speech and your lifestyle. They're observing everything about the way that you're living. And we are on display, are we not? Before the Lord, before the world. And we need to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, that's honoring God's word and honoring Jesus. Amen. Living up to what God has called us to be. It's very clear in the New Testament that those that are wanting to be in the office of a bishop or a deacon, high qualifications for them if they're going to live, if they're going to aspire to that. A bishop must be blameless. That's a pretty high calling, isn't it? the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker. That means the preacher doesn't get to punch somebody if they want to. No striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own home. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, even those that are out in the world. That they could say, now that man, I may not agree with everything about him, but I know he lives a life. He lives for God. He lives according to the word of the Lord, living above reproach, of a good report of them that are without. The same when you follow through there in Timothy, it gives the words of admonition to those that aspire to be a bishop or a pastor, those that want to be a deacon, very similar type requirements that are provided for those that are going to be in leadership, because we have to live our life above reproach, because we are carrying this wonderful message of salvation to the world. And we have an opportunity, even through our example and our lifestyle, to demonstrate Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So your life that is transformed really stands as a rebuke to those that are in the world. It really does. Your life that's changed stands as a rebuke to them that are in the world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That word conversation literally means your behavior. Your behavior, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, the real issue is our effectiveness in evangelism. If we want to reach the world and reach the harvest, you don't get in step with the world. You don't become like the world. Because when people get desperately in need of help from God, they're looking for someone that's serious about God. Someone that's serious about the things of God. They're looking for someone that knows how to pray. Someone that they think, that person walks with God. They live a holy life. And they look for that person whenever they want to find someone that can help them get a hold of God. So the issue really is evangelism. I don't know that we really need a new strategy to reach the world. We just need to use this powerful tool that we have been given, and that is a changed life. Amen. It's powerful. It's powerful. When they see a person that's been caught up in the world, caught up in sin and the ways of this world, your changed life is a very loud message to the world that Jesus can get a hold of a sinner and he can make them into a saint. Amen. And he can do that. And the scripture there says in Peter, then the world will examine you. They'll come to criticize you, but if they find nothing, then something will be stirred up in them, like a holy curiosity will be stirred up in them that'll cause them to have a desire for God, to turn toward God and eventually be converted and saved. And then glorify God in the day of visitation. So really your holy life makes the gospel more attractive. It makes the gospel more attractive. Verse number 10 says that they may adorn the doctrine of our Savior in all things. The Greek word there for adorn is the word cosmio, which means to make something beautiful. And so whenever you live a life that's pleasing to the Lord and you live a holy life, then it makes the gospel more appealing. It makes the gospel something beautiful to the world. We all have a life message. Amen. When people know you and get to know you better, then they learn what's important to you. They learn what you do with your time. They learn what your values are all about. They learn what you you know, what you do with your free time. They observe your life. All of our lives are a message to the world. Amen. Amen. As they have said, your life is the only Bible that some people are going to read. It's true. You are a living epistle. You're a living letter. You live out this message of the gospel. And we are blessed because we know the Lord and we have been changed. Your life tells the world what you think about God. The way that you live is a life message that reveals that it should be a life message that reveals that Jesus is your Savior. He's the one that can change a life and can turn you around. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that God can take a sinner and make him into a saint. He can turn his life around. He can make the drunk sober. He can make the proud humble. He can make the stubborn teachable. He can make the impure pure. He can make the profane with a godly speech. He can make the deceitful person honest, the liar, a lover of the truth. He can make the selfish generous. He can make the immodest modest. He can make the worldly godly. That's the message of the gospel. When people come to the Lord, they don't want to walk out the same. They want to be changed. They want to be different. They want to be transformed. And so this wonderful tool of evangelism that we have available to us is godly life. Live a godly life in this present dark world. Live a godly life in this ungodly world. And when you do, it will shine as a bright light. It'll be obvious to the world that person is not walking in step with the world, but instead he is following after God. And when the world sees the transformation, the Bible says they're rebuked by that. When they see a transformation in your life, they are rebuked by that. And this makes salvation attractive, makes it attractive to people that are out there in the world that are sick and tired of sin. They're sick enough. They've tried the world. They've tried it. They've tried the things of the world. And they want to change. Now, it's yet to be seen. I don't know. Who is this rapper that supposedly got saved? Kanye West. He's a multi-millionaire. Who has now said, I've gotten saved. I'm a Christian. And he's released a new recording on the message of the gospel. And all I can say is, praise God, I hope he got saved. I believe that. And he's gotten on some of these TV shows. And as soon as he gets on, he starts telling them, I'm different now. I'm new. I'm serving Jesus now. I'm living for the Lord. Praise God. If that has happened, then we can just rejoice that God can touch the sinner and change their life. And let's just pray that he'll live it out. And he'll be a testimony of God's power to change lives. Amen. Amen. His wife is known for being a very immodest person. Very immodest. And he has told his wife, I want you to dress more modestly now. Whoa. Something's going on in Hollywood. Something's changing. If that's happened. And praise God. Praise God that God can take the life of someone that's evil and wicked and following after the ways of the world and can transform their life and give them a new desire to please God. Salvation is an attractive thing, and it's a high calling that you and I hold in our hands. The ability to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And by the grace of God, you can live a holy life. And that holy life becomes something that's attractive to this world. And if we take on the world, take on the things of the world, and live like the world, then we lose the keen edge of our ability to have an impact, our effectiveness in this world. Amen. Really, I believe that the strength of our outreach to the world is not, it's not a new strategy. It's just the old-fashioned holy living, just pleasing God, just living for the Lord. Philippians 2 and 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Glory to God. Amen. You stand out in the crowd because you're living for God. It's obvious to the world that man, that woman, that young person is a godly person. Amen. And it gives more opportunity. It gives to us more of an ability to influence the world and the things of this world. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. It's all inclusive. Anyone, if they're in Hollywood or if they're in Washington, D.C. or wherever they are, if they'll put their faith in Jesus Christ, they can be saved. Amen. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And that same grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Same grace of God that reaches for that sinner also teaches him the importance of a life lived pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that when Jesus comes, that he's going to find people righteous, living a life that's pleasing to the Lord, shining in this dark world as patterns of godliness to this world. Amen. It's more powerful even than your words. It opens the door for you to be able to speak to the world when you live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the call of God that's a high calling. Thank you, Lord, that we can speak to a world that's drunken on the things of this world, so in love with the world. But Lord, help us, Lord, to set our affection on things above, things that are higher. Lord, in Jesus' name, pray, Lord, that you'd stir the church to our great privilege that is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that is really desperately in need. Lord, this world is sinking into darker and darker and darker times. So much wickedness, so much sadness and evil in our world. Oh, God, help us to shine as bright lights in this dark world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.